Good morning again. Thank you for being with us in worship this Sunday. One of the things that I like to do, if I get a spare few moments here or there, is to watch documentaries. And I like to watch documentaries because the simple fact of the matter is, real humans are way more interesting and, frankly, stranger than anything a fiction writer would ever write. In fact, if most things that you see in documentaries were actually written in a fictional movie, someone would probably complain that that seemed somewhat unrealistic and that it was not true to life. Whereas true life, if we're being really honest, contains some really strange stuff. So I watched a documentary really recently called Generation Wealth. Generation Wealth was sort of about people who are in not the wealthy category, not the very wealthy category, but people who occupy the very apex of Western wealth, people who are not in the top 1%, but in the top 1% of the top 1%, people who are literally billionaires, who have fundamentally more money than, well, they can ever spend in a lifetime. That's not to say that they don't make a really good effort at spending it. And one of the families that was in this particular documentary series was a family in Florida. And this family had decided that because they just had enough money that they could do anything in the whole world they wanted to do, what they wanted to do was build a reproduction of the Palace of Versailles. A real one-to-one reproduction of the Palace of Versailles. Not, you know, inspired by or a miniature version of, but something that would be America's largest single-owned home. Bigger than the Biltmore Estate in North Carolina. And so they set out to do this. And of course, the problem comes insofar as the husband, that is a very, very, very wealthy billionaire, was wealthy with property. And then when the real estate bubble burst in Florida, he lost enormous sums of money. They had to stop construction on the house. The house started to fall apart, fall into disrepair. They couldn't live in it. The dream was over. And in all of this particular documentary series, this is one of the continuing things that you see over and over again. And that is when the money is there, people feel happy. When the money is gone, people feel utterly and completely depressed, dejected at the bottom of life's ladder. And it seems like something of a cautionary tale. And so I got to wondering, gee, whatever happened to these people? They were building the Palace of Versailles in Orlando. The money dried up. Their life fell apart. Where are they now? And the answer was kind of surprising. The answer is they're building the Palace of Versailles again. In fact, they're hoping to have it done this year. And when they interviewed the family, the husband said something that I think was very telling. He says, well, yes, I was rich, and no, I'm not poor. I became poor for a little while, but I got rich again because I knew how to do it in the first place. And that's kind of telling. When a billionaire loses everything, it's not the same as when an ordinary person loses everything. If you or I lose everything, chances are it's not going to be much easier for us to bounce back than it would be, say, a billionaire, for whom bouncing back is simply a matter of waiting for the next opportunity, or at least waiting out a bad real estate market to start over again and become a billionaire again. And they seemed like they were happy to have money again. And of course, if the economy goes horrible, and let's face it, the economy's not beautiful right now, maybe they'll lose everything and they'll be horribly sad again. And so the system goes. Those who rely on this world for its wealth and power and prestige are going to be happy and satisfied as long as they have this world's power and prestige. Jesus addresses this in today's gospel lesson. He basically says there's this person. They're a manager. And they're living very well, probably implying that the manager was being dishonest, perhaps even implying that the manager was stealing from his boss. And he says, this manager who gets caught by his boss stealing and is told, you're going to be fired. I want a full accounting ledgers. I want to see how much you've stolen from me. Goes on to steal more from his boss. He steals more from his boss so when he gets fired, he can bounce back. And his boss says to him, hey, that was pretty clever of you. Congratulations, you're going to bounce back. And as the reader, when we read Jesus saying these words, it makes us sort of say, is it a good thing to steal and to cheat? And of course, that's not what Jesus is saying. What Jesus is saying is that the children of this world, those who operate according to this world's rules, are really good at getting rich according to this world's rules. They're really good at investing their time, their effort, their focus in things of this world. They're really good at accumulating things of this world because they put in the effort. It shapes the entirety of their lifestyle, and that was one of the things I noticed in this documentary, was how distinctly different the lifestyles of those who are billionaires are different from your lifestyle and mine. It's not just that they have different quantities of things or different quality of things. It's the absolute laser fine focus they have on the things. It's as though everything in their existence is narrowed down and honed in on whatever it is that is the focus of their wealthiness. Maybe it's building a giant palatial estate. Maybe it's staying perpetually young. Maybe it's being more beautiful than anyone else. Maybe it's just the accumulation of insane quantities of cash. But whatever it is, their focus is so tightly held. And this is what Jesus is talking about in today's gospel lesson. Here is this man, a dishonest man, by all accounts. Even his boss realizes he's dishonest, yet his focus is so sharp on what do I need to do to get ahead in this world that he even sets himself to bounce back from being completely eliminated from his job and position in society. He sets himself up, just like the guy from the Palace of Versailles in Orlando, to recover. So why is Jesus talking about this? Why is Jesus giving this particular lecture? Because it's very different from a lot of the things we hear Jesus talking about. And it's because he wants us to understand something very important. And that is, do we come to our relationship with God? Do we come to our spiritual wealth with the same laser fine focus? His point is that the children of this world are so clever in how they get the stuff of this world, so focused, so driven, so creative. Those of us who are part of the kingdom of God, those of us who have called to be in relationship with God the Father Almighty, those of us who have been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, do we have the same level of laser fine focus? And just like that focus shaped and changed and formed those people's identities, existences, does our attention to God do the same thing to us? Because if you looked at some of these individuals, you might be surprised. You might even be slightly horrified. One of them was an individual who was addicted to plastic surgery. And if you looked at her, well, there wouldn't be a whole lot of question in your mind that she had a whole lot of plastic surgery. Some of it maybe not as good as others. You would never have to ask yourself, what is this person's focus or function? What is it that this person has dedicated their lives to? Because it would be right there in front of your face. Uncomfortably so, but right there in front of your face. When the world looks at you and I, when the world looks at Christians around the world, do the eyes of the world look at us and see the same markings, the same absolute clear signs of our focus? Does it see us as those who have been shaped and changed by the process of being laser fine focused on the kingdom of God? What Jesus wants his hearers to understand is that though the treasures of this world are transitory. And like I said, that family's ups were up, their downs were down. They were thrilled when they were building their palace. They were devastated when they were losing it. They're thrilled again that they're building it. They'll probably be devastated again later if something happens. Do we understand the value of the treasure that we ourselves are being offered? Because it is so much greater than the treasure of this world. For one thing, it's not transitory. Christ says that in God, we are being offered a treasure that is eternal. That we are being offered something that cannot be touched by time, cannot be touched by circumstance, cannot be touched by loss or gain. That we are being offered a relationship with God, the Father Almighty, that we are being called to be a part of His kingdom. Our sins are forgiven. We're being given the Holy Spirit in order that we might live a new, abundant, and thriving life. And that all of that is given to us through our faith in God that lifts us above this world's circumstantial problems, but instead puts us firmly on the rock-solid foundation of God's kingdom, where it doesn't matter if there's much to be had or little to be had, or much to be happy or little to be happy about. We are maintained in our peace and our tranquility and our happiness and our certainty by the promises of God. Jesus is saying here, would your focus not be better in this life turned towards that? Would you not be better served by focusing on that? In fact, would you not be wealthier, richer, and in fact, inestimably wealthier by focusing on that? Why don't we have the same degree of determination that the unjust, unrighteous people of this world have in pursuing the paltry treasures of this life? Jesus is encouraging us to remember that we've been called to be a part of something greater, something marvelous, something tremendous, something miraculous, that you and I are so loved by God that He has decided to offer us everything in His kingdom. And that's an amazing kingdom. Makes the Palace of Versailles in Orlando look like an outhouse. This is what we need to put our focus on. This is where we need to turn our eyes. We need to let it become a part of us so much so that it shapes how the world sees us, because it shapes who we are in such a way that we are permanently marked with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the treasure that it is. So, yeah, this particular text for this Sunday is a tricky one, and it causes us to think long and hard. But it should cause us to think long and hard, because the greatest of all treasures, and that is God's love, mercy, and forgiveness, offered to us through Jesus Christ on the cross, ought to be something worthy of our focus.